Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
If you could get a ceasefire right now, I tell you, you'd take it so the bullets stop flying and your men stop getting killed.
Of course we want to stop the war.
But you're saying you don't want a ceasefire?
But I said to you,
I want a ceasefire.
With guarantees.
Because you'll get a ceasefire faster than an agreement.
Ask our people about ceasefire, what they think.
That wasn't with me.
It doesn't matter for you what
that wasn't with me. That was with a guy named Biden who was not a smart person.
That was with Obama. It was your president.
Excuse me. That was with Obama who gave you sheets and I gave you javelins.
Yes.
I gave you the javelins to take out all those tanks. Obama gave you sheets. In fact, the statement is Obama gave sheets and Trump gave javelins. You got to be more thankful because let me tell you, you don't have the cards. With us, you have the cards. But without us, you don't have any cards.
One more question to Mr. Vice President. I'm sorry.
It's going to be a tough deal to make because the attitudes have to change.
What if Russia breaks this fire? What if Russia breaks peace talks? What do you do then? I understand that it's a heated conversation right now.
What are you saying?
She's asking, what if Russia breaks the ceasefire?
What if anything? What if a bomb drops on your head right now? Okay? What if they broke it? I don't know. They broke it with Biden because Biden, they didn't respect him. They didn't respect Obama. They respect me. Let me tell you, Putin went through a hell of a lot with me. He went through a phony witch hunt where they used him and Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. You ever hear of that deal? That was a phony Hunter Biden, Joe Biden scam. Hillary Clinton, Shifty Adam Schiff. It was a Democrat scam. And he had to go through that. And he did go through it. We didn't end up in a war.
Face.
And he went through it. He was accused of all that stuff. He had nothing to do with it. It came out of Hunter Biden's bathroom. It came out of Hunter Biden's bedroom.
Oh,
it was disgusting. And then they said, the laptop from hell was made by Russia. The 51 agents. The whole thing was a scam. And he had to put up with that. He was being accused of all that stuff. All I can say is this. He might have broken deals with Obama and Bush, and he might have broken them with Biden. He did, maybe. Maybe he didn't. I don't know what happened. But he didn't break them with me.
All right. Before we go to Congressman Jeff Andrew, imagine this Ukrainian. She sounds Ukrainian, potentially. Reporter there. Wow. A bomb could drop on your head. This is an exercise that you don't see anywhere else, without a doubt. When you're talking about transparency, how much more transparent? Henry's got his eye. He's glued to the screens. You can see him on YouTube. You need a close-up there. sweat pouring over at the Inquirer.
Don, this is fascinating.
It is. Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, Trump bullies, complaining about how he came dressed to the White House. Yeah, he could have put on a suit. They could have had some fun with it. He's probably thinking, well, I didn't wear the camouflage here.
And just a little clip of going back to Vance putting Zelensky in place just so the congressman can hear. Take a listen.
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you are not strong...
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems.
Oh, Vance puts a dagger in so skillfully. Let's go to Congressman Jeff Van Drew, who is such a fashion plate next to Zelensky. That would look pretty interesting. Congressman, I know you've been busy with other things, but this has been pretty much unparalleled, even in this administration, which is much different when it comes to transparency. This has been nuts.
Well, there is one thing that nobody can say is that this hasn't been an administration that is transparent, that this has been an administration that hasn't had accessibility. You know what he's thinking. He tells you literally, I mean, without exaggeration, he has had more visibility, more transparency, and more accessibility in this first, 4 or 5 weeks now? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But in that amount of time, than the entire 4 years, I believe, of Joe Biden's presidency.
Yeah, I would agree. And what we're seeing here, we're not sure exactly what set it off. It was more Vice President Vance with Zelensky, because I thought this was the day, you probably did too. This was a master stroke, this earth minerals, rare earth minerals and all that. To move the ball forward, we'd have a stake in it, and the Russians would have to back off.
Exactly. And something did happen, and I don't know the exact nature of it. I don't think anybody does, because these are obviously very extremely new developments. Let me say this, though. When the president spoke about the whole thing, it's so important to know that we should have never been involved in Ukraine. In fact, Russia never would have done what it did. I think the president alluded to it, but let me be more specific. In the president's Trump's administration, there was no question that Russia, that Putin put out information that they were going to go into Ukraine. And the president, our president, President Trump, made it very clear that if you do that, there's going to be hell to pay. And that was the end of it. Now, in the Biden administration, Putin does the same thing again, has no respect. And what does Biden say? I think you might remember, Don, he said it was a minor incursion into the border.
Yes.
Nothing to worry about, nothing to see there. So what do you think's going to happen? You're saying, oh, it's no big deal, and we don't know how to deal with it anyhow. We're kind of weak, so I guess. So instead of dealing with it then, nipping it in the bud, getting it done, taking care of it. Instead of that, billions of dollars later, we're tangentially involved with this whole mess, you know, our materials, our money, our armaments. It just should have never happened to begin with. And now, as with the fiscal mess we're in, with so many of the other problems that we have, you leave it all to the new administration to straighten it out. And they will, but I'm sure Zelensky deserved it. I don't think he's particularly respectful. And last thing, what they also alluded to there, which I am absolutely aware of. Remember, I'm on that Judiciary Committee, and now I'm chair of oversight in the subcommittee. And we've seen all this. We saw all the money that came from Ukraine privately somehow that got to Hunter Biden and the involvement between Ukraine and, to some degree, the Democrats. So that doesn't mean all the Ukrainian people. You know who I feel sorry for in this? I feel sorry for, quite frankly, the Russian soldiers that are forced to fight and the Ukrainian soldiers that are forced to fight. They have families and children, and it's been mass slaughter. And you know one thing I know about President Trump, and I know him pretty well. I talk to him a lot. He cares about people. I mean, he may not show it in that last clip, but he cares about the families, about the children, about the young men and women who are dying every day. He wants to see it stop.
Do you think this puts into jeopardy signing this afternoon now? I mean, this is pretty, I know diplomacy is, you still go along and do it. But this is in front of a massive amount of media. This is not a good situation to get what I thought was going to be a big step forward.
Well, it's not a good situation for Ukraine. I mean, you know, again, you know, and the president alluded to this, we hold the cards, America. I mean, they can't go forward without the United States. So I think what he's doing is saying, look, you know, we're the ones in control here. Billions of dollars are going there, all kinds of armaments, and this has got to stop. And I don't know if he or the United States of America is being shown the proper respect. Remember, we became a cash cow for Ukraine. And also remember, lots of money. You know, I said all along, I voted for money one time. All the other times I didn't, the very first time, because there was a problem. But all the other times I didn't. We don't have a good accountability of where the money has gone. We don't really know. I asked so many times that the Department of Defense actually do an audit. Never was really done. We need to know. We need equal amounts of money to be put in by the countries in Europe that surround them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so concerned. They're so worried. They love to spend our money. But it's the American taxpayer, again, who's breaking their butt working. And they're the ones that pay for all this. And we can't take care of things in the United States. And we have a huge debt. So, you know, there are certain things that should have been done before that money went. We should have had the audit. We should have made sure that everything was as it should be.
Now, let's talk about the other day. And I don't know. I thought I saw headlines. Van Drew rebuts criticism of voting for the budget. I don't know what the criticism could have been. But I wanted to ask you, along with this budget, what DOGE is doing. We're starting to see now the guy who wants to give, as I do, 20% back to American taxpayers. He's very specific about that. American taxpayers who do not get benefits that more than the taxes they pay in would be recipients. What are you thinking around that? What are you hearing? 20%, the 80% goes to pay down the deficit.
I like it. In fact, I'm doing a bill, and who knows whose bill it'll be in the end if it does get done, or a combination of, or they merge them. Well, I'm in the process of writing a bill to do it.
So excellent. I'll drive you over there. You could not believe the debate on this, Congressman. To me, it's so simple because you're one of the few guys that holds the line. Rand Paul, over the years, I've been friendly with him. I've seen it. I don't trust even some Republicans to hold the line in cutting down the deficit. At least let the American public get some of these savings back right now.
Absolutely. It's their money.
Yes.
Everybody keeps forgetting. It's their money. It's your money. The people who are listening. We work for you. You don't work for us. I don't know what's so complicated about this, but absolutely I agree with you. And on the budget itself, the budget resolution, let me tell you, I spoke to President Trump three times on it. Expressed concerns. He had the same concerns. He said he was going to look at the Senate proposal, look at this proposal, choose the best one or pieces of the best one, put it together. The bottom line is this, and the president has been abundantly clear. The left tries to make it out that we're going to reduce Social Security. That's a lie. That we're going to take away Medicare and do something onerous there. That's not true as well. And then finally with Medicaid. Medicaid is not, there is some abuse, waste, fraud, and abuse. There are some people that are very able-bodied that absolutely should be working that are getting Medicaid, but that's not the majority. It is the disabled. It is senior citizens. It is nursing homes. It is working people, and I know them. I talk to them. I deal with them that are working 6 and 7 days a week that only make so much money, and their health insurance is through Medicaid. And that's okay. We're not going to take away people's health insurance. President Trump is on the exact same page that I am. And not only did he say that to me personally, as we discussed it, he then made it very clear. I think it was 2 days ago. Everything's merged and I've been up to my eyes in alligators here. But I think it was 2 days ago. He made it clear again when a reporter asked him, are you going to cut Medicaid? He said, why are you asking me this question? I've answered it over and over, but I'll answer it again. Absolutely not. We're not going to cut it. Period.
Absolutely. So what's next now? This subcommittee's on all cylinders firing away. What's the next big thing that you're looking at?
And that we've got so many choices. One of the things, first of all, we had a really good hearing. I enjoyed chairing it. And, you know, the important part to realize in this is we went through all the abuse. And, gosh, I know it was 3 hours long because it really got involved. Because guess what? The ranking member from the left, the Democrat, Jamie Raskin, he showed up. And, of course, he has a right to speak. And then Jim Jordan showed up to the hearing as well, which I love having him speak. So we, you know, we went at it for hours. And Jasmine Crockett is, you know, when you're the chairman, you have a ranking member who's like the chairman in the minority party. And that's Jasmine Crockett.
Can I interrupt right there? You have to. Sure. You have Raskin and Jasmine Crockett on the other side on your. Oh, my goodness. We'll send bottles of scotch today. That's going to be needed. Yeah.
I could have had a couple while I was sitting there. No, I'm only kidding. It was all good, but just a really different view of America. And I wish people could sit there with me. I know sometimes it's a little long, but listen how their own, so millions of times the FBI went into personal files of people that had done nothing wrong just because they were conservative or Republican or because they were a boyfriend or girlfriend that broke up with them. The FBI was going into churches. We have all the proof. We went into that. The FBI was going into schools and school boards. All these people were supposed to be domestic terrorists. Well, I'll say it this way, and I want everybody to listen to the words I say because I don't say them lightly. We were losing America. We were about to lose America. For real. We're losing our First Amendment. You know, all the amendments are important, all of them, obviously, to the Constitution. Free speech is the most important. Without free speech, you have nothing. We were losing through censorship. We went into that. So what are we going to go into in the future? We're going to really drill deep and hard into censorship. We're really going to look into how much this all cost. All this crap that went on in the Department of Justice, it cost not millions, billions of dollars. We're going to track that down, and we're going to do a lot more. We're going to go the Attorney General, Department of Justice, see how the Drug Enforcement Agency is doing. I've had people come to me from the Bureau of Prisons, some, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse there. We're going to look at it all.
All right. Well, Congressman, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll pick up next week.
Thank you. Always good to speak with you, Dom. You too. Have a good weekend.
Congressman Jeff Van Drew here at a big moment. Dan, do you have any more from
this? I have more after the break for you.
Okay, more after the break. And yeah, and I think that Trump said, you wouldn't be such a tough guy without the United States, would you? Oh, my God. Would love to get your reaction.
The problem is I've empowered you to be a tough guy. And I don't think you'd be a tough guy without the United States. And
oh, my goodness. It is unprecedented. We've never been allowed into meetings like this. You know who I'd like to see in there with Zelensky too, Dan? And you wouldn't have a reference of this. But back in the day, Richard Nixon. He got into with the premier of Russia, the Soviet Union at their height, Nikita Khrushchev, in a kitchen demonstration at a World's Fair, hollering at each other, knocking over stuff in the kitchen and all. Nixon would be poking him right in the ribs there. He'd be in there too. But with Trump, it's, wow, stunning stuff. All right, I still think they'll sign, as far as I can tell, this afternoon. We'll play you a little bit more. And I'll give you a little bit more. You heard Jeff Van Drew. He's on board with giving money back to the American public. This guy Fishback, the architect of it, Dan is shadowing him every day. We're on it. Where is this guy? How do we get him on? I'll tell you what he said. How many million Americans would get the 5,000 if it is 5,000? 855-839-1210.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40.
period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Zelensky being asked about his suit.
Yeah, about the suit. Yeah, he did wear the black outfit, not the camouflage today. All right, whatever. I don't know if that set everything off. It seemed like Zelensky wanted to make the point they're signing this minerals deal, but they don't feel that the Trump administration has been supporting them enough. Seemed to be that in front of the media. Then that set off Vance first, and then more President Trump. I'm not even sure if they are going to sign it today now. I'll take that back. That might be up in the air a little bit here. All right, you just heard Jeff Andrew, though, say he has a bill, too, or he's working on a bill that will give that money to the American people that's being saved. 20% has been talked about. New York Post has a big piece today saying that this would be about 79 million Americans would get this, and the trigger would be not just that you pay taxes, but that you pay taxes, more taxes than a direct benefit you get. All right? That's critical in this. So this is pretty buttoned up. I think there's a reasonable chance it could happen, and they said it could happen during this calendar year. All right, so 855-839-1210. But this is unprecedented to be in the Oval Office and the chair, as Trump says, to the right of Trump's right hand, where he puts the dictators. And it started off okay, but when they got inside there, it really opened up. And I thought this rare minerals deal has got a lot that's good. It's in some ways the best of the Trump skill, negotiate something here that's going to move the ball forward with the Russians. The Ukrainians get something, but they give something back to us to reassure Americans. We just didn't dump all this money in there. And they did it's a very corrupt country. Hunter Biden was brought up, etc.
I do have Trump comparing himself to Lincoln in Washington.
Uh-oh, here we go. All right.
And as a president of the United States, you make historical decisions in other issues which affect America and other world. So what place in the world history do you want to take? And do you associate yourself with any famous historical figures?
Yeah, I'd say George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. I would say I'm far superior to George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Now, you know I'm only kidding, right? Because when I say that, the fake news is going to go wild. They're going to say he considers himself to be better than Washington. But you never know. You never know.
All right. It's just hard to believe what the heck went on here today. I like Vance's style on this. He's quite a sniper. It was very much like the Martha Raddatz. It looks like Fox. This is so big. They have 6 squares up now. I'd like to see squares with, like, pinheads.
We need more squares,
Dom. Yeah, like pinhead pundits, I'd call it. And 500 squares up there, little pinheads all talking at once.
Make it like the NBA bubble where all those people are on the Zoom call. Yeah, exactly.
Like hundreds on the Zoom call. They go to a random person, some guy on the street. Trump saying that Zelensky disrespected the Oval Office.
I do have more of them if you
want. Yeah, let's hear a little bit more than the Earl of Tacconi. We'll go to.
We know that you're wrong.
But you see, I think it's good for the American people to see what's going on.
I understand, sir.
I think it's very important. That's why I kept this going so long. You have to be thankful. You don't have the cards. You're buried there. You're people are dying. You're running low on soldiers.
Don't play.
You're running low on soldiers. It would be a damn good thing. And then you tell us, I don't want a ceasefire. I don't want a ceasefire. I want to go, and I want this. Look, if you could get a ceasefire right now, I tell you, you'd take it so the bullets stop flying and your men stop getting killed.
Of course we want to stop the war.
But you're saying you don't want a ceasefire.
But I said to you,
I want a ceasefire.
With guarantees.
Because you'll get a ceasefire faster than an agreement.
Ask our people about ceasefire, what they think.
That wasn't with me.
For you what
that wasn't with me. That was with a guy named Biden who was not a smart person. That was with Obama.
Tag Joe Biden in here. Get Biden in there.
Who gave you sheets, and I gave you javelins. I gave you the javelins to take out all those tanks. Obama gave you sheets. In fact, the statement is Obama gave sheets and Trump gave javelins. You got to be more thankful. Because let me tell you, you don't have the cards. With us, you have the cards.
Zelensky's visibly
fuming.
Without
us, you don't have any cards.
Yeah. And you got these foreign reporters, like the one woman who said, well, a bomb could drop on your head. What the heck are they? Oh, my God. All right. Side question today. Worst idea in history. Not a good idea by Zelensky here. Now, I told you how the media will try to spin this. But people seeing this that are a little bit more down the middle or apolitical, are they going to say this is bullying? Are they going to say, no, you know, now we've done a whole lot here. And I think the key thing that Trump people ought to emphasize out of all this is this. If you can get a ceasefire, you take a ceasefire now. I mean, that's rational. You stop the killing for now. And you know how I feel about Putin, the whole thing. We got that. But you get a ceasefire, you stop this, and then we move forward. You're not going to solve it all at once, necessarily. Getting the ceasefire would be progress. Stop people from getting killed. Earl of Tacconi on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Earl. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. I have one of my traditional stories to tell you.
Okay.
It's a success story followed by a failure.
Right.
Sears started out just selling watches out of a catalog. They started expanding and diversifying. They started dealing with mainly rural America, people that didn't have access to cities. They offered them a wide selection at low cost. You could buy cars from Sears. You could buy a house from Sears.
You could build your house. That's right. Yeah.
1925, they had their first brick-and-mortar store, but they had the brick-and-mortar stores, they had the catalogs, and the catalogs were important. It became part of American society. They went international when United States forces occupied the Philippines, and we occupied Greenland during World War II. I mean, they were selling everywhere. And they decided to diversify in the 80s even further. They started Prodigy, the first internet server. They had the first online website, the Christmas Wish Book was online, and someone at Sears decided, you know what, internet sales isn't really where it is. We're going to stick with the brick and mortar because they already started phasing out the catalog, especially when Walmart took over for Sears. So what happened is some guy out in Washington from the company called Kadabra was selling books out of his garage. Kadabra eventually became Amazon, which made their billions selling online, and if Sears would have gone and continued to sell online, they would still be around today. But Amazon took the Sears playbook and did the same thing. Sell one product, diversify, and move on, and Sears is dead because they didn't adapt. They didn't go back to their old model, which worked.
Thank you, Earl. That's a good one. Sure. All-time, we're looking for all-time dumb idea. Trump says President Trump, Zelensky can come back when he's ready for peace. I don't know. Is Zelensky leaving? That can't be. I mean, I thought they had a lunch after this. Can you imagine how's the cheese sandwich there?
Yeah, so the full statement. Full statement from Trump reads, we had a very meaningful meeting at the White House today. Much was learned. That can never be understood without conversation under such fire and pressure. It's amazing what comes out through emotion. I've determined that President Zelensky is not ready for peace if America is involved because he feels our involvement gives him a big advantage in the negotiations. I don't want advantage. I want peace. He disrespected the United States of America and its cherished Oval Office. He can come back when he is ready for peace.
All right, so now we're looking at the Ukrainian limo, or it's an American limo, I'm not sure. They got the Ukrainian flag on it, too. Will he leave the White House and now go forward? I mean, I don't know how that...
Is he just going to, like, fly back?
Yeah, it looks like that. I don't know how that helps with Putin getting him now, or does he see advantage after this blow-up? It's not like pro wrestling. It doesn't work, and something's on the script, and, you know, Jim Jordan's going to come in and give a headshot to Zelensky and solve all this. Nope, the Zelensky-Trump news conference is canceled now. Okay, well, I thought that's what they were doing, but...
Well, okay, there was a press conference, was it not?
Yeah, it ended up being one.
CNN's Amanpour is reacting to this. Another reaction, if you want that, as a comment.
Yeah, Christina and Amanpour.
Caitlin, I want to start with look at her face. I mean, Christiane, hold that thought
Christiane,
for once.
Okay, Christiane.
Actually, Christiane, please, take it away.
Never in the history of modern diplomacy, war, peace, whatever, have I ever, ever, ever seen anything like it. We just have to hope that for the safety of the free world and for the American people, for the European people, for the Ukrainian people, that these two presidents get out of breath and try to iron out their differences. This was an entirely personal go-to with so many mistruths and misfacts. J.D. Vance, who once said about Ukraine, I don't really care about whatever happens to Ukraine. Zelensky, who spent a long time
for CNN. That's yeah, as you can say, never seen anything like in history of modern diplomacy.
She, the voice, the whole thing. This woman is we don't go through her full history, what she's been called, but when you go to her as your expert, you know where this is going. She's starting to go after Vance here, and Vance was boring in with Zelensky here, and there was, you know, how is he dressed today and all that. So this is a setback. It looks like he might be leaving. And again, my take today was going to be, I look at this minerals deal, and I think this is progress. Ukrainians get something. We get something. We move forward. We would be there. We'd have an American interest. Putin, at least as long as Trump is there, backs away. It was all going to be good. How does this play out? Well, I'm telling you how it's playing out in the media. It's playing out in the media exactly that Trump bullying, et cetera. She said it's personal. Yes, it is also personal. Karl Rove lecturing on Fox. It would be better.
And walk away with as nice as comments as they can make, because the only winner today, if there is no deal and if these two men leave, the only winner is Vladimir Putin, and the result will be more death, more destruction, because it will embolden Putin. So both of these men need to step back for a moment, consider the greater stakes here, get the deal done. They don't need to have a press conference. They can issue a joint statement that both of their teams can work out, and they can be done with this. But if this ends up with no agreement, and the two men go their separate ways, one to return to the battlefront in Ukraine and the other to go to Mar-a-Lago, the only winner will be Vladimir Putin, and this situation in Europe will get worse, and it will embolden Putin, and more importantly, it will embolden the allies of Putin, namely Tehran, Beijing, and Pyongyang, because they will see this as weakness by the West, that the United States cannot lead, and that the Ukrainians cannot be brought into it a reasonable situation, and it will be bad.
Really. All right, so here's the bottom line, what this is all coming down to. If Zelensky is not just huffing and puffing and doesn't state, all right, we can deal with a ceasefire, that's the Trump position. I support that. You get a ceasefire here. You're not going to solve this as much as Trump talked about it during the campaign. This is very difficult. Everybody knows that with Putin. So you get the ceasefire. People at least are not being killed. The country's not being destroyed. And then we move forward on that. Why in the world Zelensky doesn't see that? He thinks his own people wouldn't back down. It would look like he's backing down. Not sure. All right, phone lines. And hit us on the side question, too. 855-839-1210. You get in on Talk Radio 1210. All right, welcome in, everyone. 855-839-1210. Now, ordinarily, we know these things are dicey. You do them in private. But the Trump administration, this back and forth with Zelensky, is transparent, if nothing else. And the bottom line here is, I think on Trump's side of the ledger, no matter what the media says, his argument's solid. He's pushing for a ceasefire. Zelensky doesn't want a ceasefire. He won't settle for that. Well, that's not accommodating Putin. This is, I mean, from my position, how I see Putin, I realize you just can't get him to sign off on something instantly. This is going to be a lot of fits and starts and trying to see what leverage you have over him. And Zelensky, after the initial thing that was more personal about dress and disrespecting the Oval Office by playing to the media, his position, I guess, politically at home, they wouldn't go for a ceasefire. That's losing face here. Well, it would stop the killing. It would stop the destruction. Why would that be a capitulation to Trump? Well, now after seeing this publicly.
He's going to his car now.
Zelensky going to the car. Yeah, I'm watching. Okay, he's going to the car. So we don't know if this means he is headed to the airport. The news conference has been canceled. Where's he going to go in the car then? Hey, Zelensky, come on over here. You know, you could be dressed as you are. We can join you here.
Got an extra bed in the basement.
Yeah, that's right. I guess he is headed to potentially to the airport, or he's going to sulk in his car. We don't know about, will they put out a statement and sign the rare minerals deal? That seems to be pretty much lost.
Do you think Vlad would be down for some 2K tonight?
Yeah, exactly.
NBA 2K.
Yeah. Given what went down there, though, it could be that he may be just going home. A lot of the entourage, a lot of the people coming out seem to be the Ukrainian entourage or media. They're leaving with him, and he's just sitting in his limo at this point. Still no coverage from the Inquirer, Henry. You ring the bell there. You let me know. I want to see they're working overtime over there. What words can they put up about Trump? You know, what talking heads? Christiane, of all people, oh, my God, the most elitist, the most obvious troublemaker of all. That's who CNN goes to with Caitlin Collins, who was in there, too, I think. Wow. This is, I'd have to say, I'm going to have to break out a big list. I don't know if I could do it off the top of my head. Of the top 10 moments, you may have one, where the Trump administration was different than almost any American administration, either the first time or second time. Yeah, the limo is leaving. Zelensky might be on the way to the airport.
That's a 10-hour flight.
Yes.
That's brutal.
It's 10 hours. But I've been on a 13 to Israel. So
I've been on a plane a long time. Yeah. But still, yeah, 10 hours there. You show up for 2 hours.
20 hours. 20-hour flight to duke it out with Trump and J.D. Vance in the ring here. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he's left the White House. There will be no joint conference. The next time we'll see the president, Fox is reporting, is at departure. No deal signed and no joint press conference. Tensions at an all-time high between the two leaders here. All right. Again, how can you make an argument against a ceasefire? We're not in Ukraine. We don't know. You can imagine how they're feeling, the devastation. Okay, we get that. But you got to do a ceasefire here first. You're just not going to solve this in an eye blink. No matter what you give Putin, no matter how this works out, Ukraine's not going to go for that stuff. So there needs to be a ceasefire. Then the negotiating around the edges start. 855-839-1210.
So I'm currently monitoring multiple networks. Yes. MSNBC has this Mark Polymeropoulos, former CIA expert on who breaks it down with a different take on the whole situation. Would you want to hear that?
Yeah, sure.
Here you go.
Listening to this, what does this mean for U.S. national security, for European security, and security around the world?
So I share the disillusionment that Ambassador McFaul was talking about. This was a disgraceful performance by the President of the United States.
Of course.
A disgraceful performance by the Vice President, They have humiliated the United States on the world stage. It reinforces all the suspicions of our European partners that America can no longer be trusted as an ally. And I think at the end of the day, you know, perhaps this puts to rest some of the things we've been hearing that, you know, there are some members in the GOP, for example, senators and others who are trying to change President Trump's mind. I think that's gone at this point. Certainly there was efforts by their European partners to come and kiss the ring. You saw that both from Macron and Starmer, but ultimately none of that was successful. And so what you saw today was, I think, the true shift in U.S. foreign policy. You know, it is not values based. We have an administration that's acting like a mafia family trying to shake down our allies. And I think this is going to have profound effects. I literally have been watching.
Hey, buddy,
this
what nationality
stunt.
Are you? Try something different than the mafia.
This is not the way,
saying.
Certainly, it was even to be scripted.
He's
I'm
Greek.
Not quite sure why Vice President Vance came in so hard against Zelensky. But humiliating an ally on the world stage does not certainly advance U.S. national security interests. And I would say that I cannot imagine, you know, Marco Rubio, who has been an influential voice in U.S. foreign policy. He was sitting there. He can't think this was a good thing. The national security advisor, Mike Waltz, again, someone who is very respected as well, someone who has supported Ukraine in the past. I cannot imagine that they thought the thinking is that this went well. And I do wonder is how do people who actually are serious about national security and the Republican Party recover from this? Because at the end of the day, this was an absolute catastrophe. And I think it will have profound effects on our European partners as well. Who is
I have a sentimental weakness for my children, and I spoil them as you can
see. It's Sonny. That's who Trump is. He's Sonny here. If we hear the European partners one more time, I get the idea of allies and all that, but you know what? We're tired of all this stuff with Europe. And Trump was elected the first time and second time. Well, the first time more. Now it's playing out here on the international stage to push back against all this stuff. So this guy regurgitating that only emphasizes the point of the election. And going after Vance, who calmly was talking to Zelensky, who was fired up here too. What's wrong with that? All right, 855. Oh, this set us back. We were do you feel humiliated as an American? You know, what's with the mafia thing, too?
Always got a reference to mafia.
Let's come up with something else. What nationality did this guy
have? I'm offended as a Polish person for you.
You look like a white bread guy here. Is that what you were saying? Some kind of like, you know.
He looks like an off-brand Fetterman to me.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
An off-brand what?
Fetterman.
He does.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to get his picture out there.
Only thing missing from the meeting today, Dom.
I know a lush when I see one, and you're a lush.
Picture Rizzo with Zelensky. Get the hell out. Or no, let's go behind the
Oval. You're a coward.
Let's go. I'll put my dog in. Let's go behind the Oval Office.
You're a crumb creep.
You're a lush, too. I know.
Take that thing out. Unhook it.
855-839-1210. All right, we'll get your reaction. We'll get more on the side questions.
You're going to have a hell of a story on that one.
855-839-1210. All right, time to your Dano show. So how does this play out? We've just seen a big moment here. I'll tell you, the Trump strategy, we've seen it in play here, along with Vance, with Zelensky. Today, Mexico abruptly has extradited 28 cartel bosses to the United States, including the DEA agent's killer. So we're seeing the upside of that. How does this play out with Zelensky? I think the Trump people continue to, you know, whatever happened in the heat of the moment. Ceasefire is the way to go. I don't think any rational person is going to be against that. Let's go to Al in Newfield, though, on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Al.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. And I count on your station for news. I'm kind of neutral and I want it neutral and it's hard to find. And I get clips and things of that nature, so I'm grateful for that. But I sense when I tuned over to your station, I sensed that at least during this hour, it was gleeful. This is an embarrassment to have the president crap his pants on such a worldwide stage. And this confirms the only person that could be happy about this is James Carville, who predicted this kind of a meltdown. You invite the guy to your office and then you allow this to occur. He set the guy up and he's Zelensky's been in a war, so he's not going to have the patience or diplomacy of the other guys that can sit there and grin and shake and politely correct the president as each one did. But he just had enough, and you could see it in his face. And if Trump is the master negotiator, he should have been reading this man and saying, you know what, he's not about this today. We better cut this short.
All right, Al. So, but the bottom line, big picture, though, Zelensky, by every indication here, not just personal, is against a ceasefire. Doesn't see it as a way to go. I don't know politically if that's kryptonite in home. Doesn't there have to be a ceasefire first?
No, I see that. Well, first of all, it's already been violated. It was violated last night. I know have to watch the news to prepare for your show. It had already been violated.
There was no ceasefire. There's no ceasefire at this point. So, Al,
they agreed that during the pendency of this of this discussion.
Okay. Al, don't we have to have a formal ceasefire? Now, if there's violations, and you want to talk about violations, what happens? Okay, but I'm talking about a long-term ceasefire here, because otherwise, how many people are going to die between now and a settlement, which would take months?
While that may be true, you're not going to bully this particular president that's been in a war and has seen these people fight and die. He's not in a position, call it political or call it humane, he's not in a position to say, okay, you guys figure it out and let us know and we'll come in.
I'm not saying he should. I think he ought to be involved in the talks, but that would be extremely difficult for the reasons you just put in. The bottom line is this, though. The American public, vast numbers of it, at least that support Trump, I think over 50, have had it with what we've put into Ukraine. Now, maybe you have not. And they know a lot of this money has gone corruptly or even directly to support small business there and fashion designers and influencers. And God knows what else. And they're tired of it, Al.
Well, the fact that we do need oversight. And just a final point to broaden that, you're getting into an area of management, sort of a presidential management or administrative management. The issue is anyone can identify. And I just spent, I'm in a second career now for 20 years, but my first career was managing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A reasonably intelligent person can identify what's wrong with either a business or so forth. And I guess the same applies to the country. I don't know. I don't do government work. But the trick is fixing it without breaking it.
All right. And thank you, Al. Thanks. Glad you were heard on this. I see it differently. We were humiliated here. 855-839-1210. The news conference is canceled. The deal signing is apparently canceled also. Zelensky, Fox is still saying that Zelensky's going to appear with Bret Baier tonight at 6 o'clock exclusively. Oh, man.
Look like Bill Kornfeld, a little grown up without glasses.
Who?
Dan Hoffman.
Dan Hoffman, yeah, on Fox. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And again, when you get this mix of the American media and the foreign media there, that does set stuff off. I think a lot of this was started with J.D. Vance talking. This was the first chance to vet what a lot of people feel. And maybe you've never called in before, and maybe you feel some of the things. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go with every sentence that Trump said or how this ultimately played out. But there's a lot of buildup resentment here since this has happened. What was it? Just 3 years ago was the date. Since this has happened, the amount of money spent, some of the corruption, some of the things we've seen, some of the they brought up, and they're right, that Zelensky came here. Remember, he went where they're making the shells in Pennsylvania with who? Josh Shapiro, campaigning for the other side. There is resentment here. So, moving down this path, is the ceasefire not the rational thing to go with? Isn't that where this has to go? And Henry's right. 10-hour trip back. This is not going to happen soon. I just hope somehow or another they sign the minerals deal and move forward despite all this, because I happen to think that was something that was going to advance stuff. If you don't have a ceasefire, if you don't go for that, despite what Putin does, you know how I feel about Putin. I'm not, you know, I no defense of Putin here. All right. I get it. Trying to bring him into the negotiation. Bill O'Reilly on my show yesterday made about the best case in talking to Trump, how Trump tells him he sees dealing with Putin. It was like telegraphing what goes in his mind. Okay, I get that. And I guess if we were in that position, you're going to calm down a little bit about Putin. I see Putin for what he is, up and down the line every day. But I realize you got to try to come up with an agreement. So does Zelensky. And a ceasefire is the way to go. If there are violations here and there, we're not going to have a major war. You're not going to have this destruction. Upside of this, how transparent it was. Now, you may be in the camp that says this stuff should not be transparent. I happen to think it's refreshing. People can make their own judgment here. Already, that guy we played, Dan, keep that guy. That guy's worth every dime. The mafioso? Yeah, the mafioso. The guy sitting there, right, with this mafioso stuff and bludgeoning this guy. You know what? Maybe we were not tough enough on Zelensky and this corrupt country. That's what it is. I'd be tough on both Putin and him. They were not with this guy. You know how the money was spent. You know what's going on here. That doesn't excuse Putin. That doesn't mean, oh, we're going to be weak on Putin now. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.